So let's move on. So yesterday we just started introducing Tefillah Kedushin. So now we're going to get into some of the halachos. Today, probably, let's just discuss the materials that require Tefillah. That'll probably take us a little bit. Just which materials require Tefillah, which ones do not require Tefillah. So the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Darshan is based on the Pasuk. Pasuk identifies the metals that require that require Hagalah. So the Gemara dashes from there that those are the Kalim that require Tefillah, because Vitaher is going on the whole Parsha, and Vitaher is where we learn Tefillah's Kalim, so that which requires Tefillah, certainly metal utensils require Tefillah. What about Cheres? So the Gemara says, Cheres does not require Tefillah. Good, so very clear. Metal and Cheres. So if only everything was metal and Cheres, everything would be simple. There is a third category. Glass, right? Glass seems to be an exception to the rule, because glass comes from sand, and therefore, by all rights, should be like Kli Cheres. But yeah, glass still requires Tefillah, the Gemara says, because even if it breaks, it could be remelted and fixed, just like a metal Kli, just like Kli Matchas, and therefore, it's going to require Tefillah. Now, have you ever, in your life, have you ever seen anyone do that to glass? Have you ever, you're breaking glass in the kitchen, and wait, stop! Gather it all together so that we can fix it, and we can put it back. No, we don't do that because we're embarrassingly rich. We're able to, when we break a glass, we throw it out, we'll buy another glass. But that's that technically it could be done, and therefore it's similar to a Kli Matechus. What about porcelain? So Pischei Tshuva over here in Sivkat and Bay is a very important Pischei Tshuva. It's going to come up again soon. Zchuchis, Ayin B'Shelis Yavi Tzchei L'Kalav Simit Samach Zayin. Shekasav the kelim abayim v'medina sayam shenekraim porcelain v'domel l'klei zechuchis ein tzrich in tevila, that they don't require tevila. Fi sheyadua shasiyas min hachol min ha'adava, they're made out of chol and adava, which is just like kli cheres v'kli malchus amurim b'parsha. The only thing that require tevila are metal kelim. Ay v'yaf agav d'shi tfei, they're more smooth than metal kelim. Less than ba da kli zechuchis shvi tfei minayiv. That doesn't tell me anything, because glass is even more smooth than porcelain. And does glass need tevila? Only, yes, but only because it can be fixed. So porcelain, which can't be fixed, I don't care how similar it looks to glass, it can't be fixed, and therefore it's not like a Kli Matechus. So that's what the Pischei Tshuva tells us. The porcelain vessels do not require tevila because they're earthenware. Aruch HaShulchan assumes that the unique characteristics of glass that requires tefillah is that it's clear, that that's what defines glass, which is a very important chiddush. That means there are a lot of materials that are very, very similar to glass, but just aren't clear. So porcelain was, according to Wikipedia, was created in China during the Tang Dynasty from a two-ore firing process. And it's undergone some changes over time. And currently porcelain ceramic body is composed by the raw materials of, I can't even pronounce them, different types of quartz and clay and other things. Fine. So that's the porcelain. What about Pyrex? So when they ask, yeah?
The Aruch HaShulchan is in addition to what the Gemara says about glass? Like, it has to be clear and also...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it doesn't deny the Gemara, right? I mean, the Gemara says it has to be able to be fixed, right? Which is a characteristic of glass. Although it may not be characteristic of plastic. It may or may not be a characteristic of plastic. It depends on the type of plastic. But it is a characteristic of glass. What about Pyrex? So they have different... I don't think... Did Ramesh have a tshuva about Pyrex? Because I heard B'Shem Rav Moshe both ways about Pyrex over the years. So they say, Rabbi Reisman said that he spoke to Rabbi Bluth, and Rabbi Bluth told him, yeah, I know why Rav Moshe said both ways about Pyrex. Because one time they asked Rav Moshe, does Pyrex need tevila? And he said, what's Pyrex? And they said, oh, Pyrex is, it's clear cheres. It's like a cheres, but it's clear. So they said, oh, clear cheres is patur from tevila. And then another time someone asked Ramesh, what's Pyrex need to be? He said, what's Pyrex? He said, it's like glass, but tougher. You know, it won't break. Well, glass requires to be though. So I don't know where that leaves us. You know, halacha, I think generally speaking, we assume that Pyrex is glass. It looks like glass, I mean, by the Aruch HaShulchan's definition. certainly it looks like glass, and therefore would fit the category of glass. So a pyrex kli usually would require tefillah.
The Chafkei has on their website that it's made from glass and therefore requires tefillah, and that's based on Rav Buzner, and that's also the opinion of the OU.
Yeah, I don't see what the tzad to say not is. Really. I mean, it's glass. It just happens to be treated in such a way where you can put it in an oven at 400 degrees for 2 hours and nothing's going to happen to it. As opposed to if you put a drinking glass, it's going to get destroyed. But it's glass.
From that story with Rav Moshe, do we see that he rejected the Aruch HaShulchan?
I don't know. I'm not going to be medayik. I don't know if the story is true. I don't know. Yeah, I'm not going to be medayik in the story. Now, when it comes to porcelain and pottery vessels that have a metal or lead coating, so there's machlokas, Beis Yosef quotes machlokas, how much of a lead coating is going to be mechayev the kli in tevila. So Beis Yosef quotes that some say only if the kli is completely covered on the inside and outside by the metal or lead. If it has a coating of either, you know, of a type of metal, lead is one of the six types of metal, so only then is it. So that means the Shulchan doesn't discuss a glaze on a kli, it discusses a metal lining on a kli. So one day in the Beis Yosef is that it has to be inside and outside, whereas the other day it says, even if it's only covered on the inside, and another day, even if it's only covered on the outside. So different shitos in the Beis Yosef. La halacha, Shulchan Aruch is pretty clear. Hakona me'akum klei suda shel malchus, o shel zechuchus, o kelim hametzupin be'ever mibifnim. Aval bishem chadesh. So he says what? That it's got to be covered in lead only on the inside is enough to be mechayiv in tevila. And that's going to be with a bracha. Tevila with a bracha. Tzarech levim b'miklo mayen shal abam sa. Says the Ramah, Yeshom, the Kelim Tzufim Be'ev Rafilu Bifnim, Yitbol below Bracha. That the Ramah says that you should be told without a Bracha if it's only Mitzupa Mi Bifnim. Since there are opinions that hold that only if the pottery is completely covered, it's Mechayiv and Tevila, so the Ramah says we have to be Choshish for those Shitos, so still do the Tevila, but only do it without a Bracha. But even the Ramah agrees that if it's covered on both sides, if it's completely covered in metal, then there's no Shita to rely on anymore, then you would have to say do with a Bracha.
I thought the Ramah was maybe also based on the smock where the Sirhadir says that the glaze is just equally, so it's just equally, even if it's on both sides.
That's by a glaze, but by the metal, is that what the Ramah said? Beis Yosef b'shem smock va'aruch, that's what it says over here. One second. So, Yitvo Blo Bracha, right? The Taz writes, the Tzipo Bifnim Eino El Lenoi. So what he's saying that, I mean, that's the svara to say that it wouldn't require. So he says, do it, just do it without a bracha.
Right, so but even if it's on both sides, even on the inside and the outside.
Meaning he's not only talking about where it's mi bifnim, but why is he saying afilu bifnim? So he's saying that the Ramah would hold that it's below bracha even when it's on the outside? Because that's what the smack and the oak said? What?
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I didn't look. I didn't look. I'm just looking at my notes. I didn't look. Does anyone remember? Let's look it up. Have a look. Don't want to get this wrong. It's nice to have the Beis Yosef together with the Shulchan Aruch in one volume. Because of smack. No, it's a tripod. Oh, here. Chayik licher sam tzupin be'ever. Right, so what did the Torah write? The chayik licher sam tzupin be'ever. That it does require tzupin. The hani mili be mitzupin bifnim. The hash the dama lukli suda shatipu bifnim. The makom atashmish. Says the Beis Yosef, "Plead Rav Acher Ravina, Chad Amar Kitkas Rav Masava." Fine. Oh, Chayim Yisuf Mivin. Can Kasa B'Shem Tos Rav Rosh? Can Kasa Smak? The time Yisuf the Kibush and Mishtam Yisuf Makom Ever of Makom Abar Zelo Avitum Yid the Klisuda the Midian by Mordechai Kasa Shavi Ezri Kasa the Beim Yisuf Mivin Beim Mechupa Mibachutz Velo Mivin Tantilu Velo Chil Kham Beim Mivin Mechutz. So what did he say? That the first day was the smak is that like what the Torah says, that it's only mitzvah b'fnim. But if it's mitzvah b'chutz, then it would not require tevila, because that's only l'noi, right? That's what I'm assuming. Mitzvah b'chutz is only l'noi, and because you don't use it, you don't use the tzipui, the lining. The Mordechai says, name of Yazri, that whichever way, wherever it is, if there's any metal element, then it's going to require tevila. And the Ran says that it's got to be both. So again, first shita is only if it's on the inside, second shita anywhere, third shita it's got to be both. And the Ramah is passing like the smak that only if it's on the inside.
Well, really the next one, the smak has on the left.
Oh? Alright, last two lines. Oh, the smak kasa. Kederish al cheresh she mitzuvim be'evim mibachut zayin tzrichim tevila avlozen shein plumitz mibifnim tzrichim tevila ach v'lo bracha l'vi she'en anasuyin el l'noi ad kar. What?
The Dark Moshe says even if it's mechubim mibifnim.
Yeah, meaning the first sheet of the smak that he quoted was with a bracha if it's mitzuvim mibifnim. Then at the end he says that since it's only l'noi, you would do it without a bracha. Meaning, not that you know for sure it's only l'noi. If it was for sure that it was only l'noi, you wouldn't require tefillah at all. But because of the safek, right, whether it is or isn't, so that's why you do it without a bracha. So if we're mitzupa on both sides, are you saying even on both sides it would only be l'noi? Is that true? I guess so, right? If even on the inside is considered might be considered l'noi, then for sure on the outside would be considered l'noi. So the Ramah means that even on both sides would only be l'noi. Yeah, probably. Anyone argue? Anyone disagree with that? Right? Sounds right. That if it's a mitzvah on both sides, that's also only l'noi. Yeah, sounds right. We'll see how this plays out in terms of actually, we don't really have kelim like this, but a mitzvah with metal. So that's the mechaber and the Rambam. What about glass coated pottery? So both according to the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, that if it's fully covered in metal. So it's not l'noi, it's chayv and tzvila with the bracha. So does the same apply to kli cheres that's coated with a glass or enamel, which is very common? So today the way that they make the glazed china is really they just like shellac it. They just like paint a layer of it's not really glazed. So I think almost everybody agrees that Mikra did. If you have a regular china plate nowadays, that it does not really require tefillah. There are people that are machmir to tovel it anyway, but that is a chumrah. It's clearly just a chumrah, so they choose to be machmir. But it's really just a very thin glaze. It's not even a glaze. It's like some sort of shellac that they put on. It's not real glass that they're putting on it. So if it's not real glass, it's not even a shayla. So the whole discussion of poskim is if it's a glaze on the dishes. That's where Rabbi Tendler Shlita used to teach. Tevilas Kelim, the Smicha program. Tevilas Kelim was not part of Yerdeya. It was part of, I think, fourth year Alach L'maisa. So he used to teach Tevilas Kelim, and his line that he used to love to say each year when he taught it was that every chassan during the Sheva Brachos wants to demonstrate to the Kala that he's, what was the lashon? Something like that he wants to demonstrate a level of amaratzus that should have passed the shidduch meikara by bringing all of the koycheres to the mikvah and toveling them. So that's what Rebbe Tendler's way of saying lenias daiti. you shouldn't tovel pottery dishes because meaning Rebbe Tendler is very into like metzias things, right? So he said the metzias is it's not glazed, it's not at all the discussion of the poskim. So the Shach says that coated with glass is the same as coated with lead. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes that you should tovel them without a bracha, because even if it's coated with glass on both sides, why? There's a difference between a glass coating and a metal coating. Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger. No, not that one. Is it? Yeah, the on shachs of cut and dalit. It's belenu below bracha. The mitzvah b'frim v'chutz on bracha. Prichadash. Certainly, if it's mitzvah b'frim and v'chutz, it's going to require a bracha. Ooh, that's going.
Not like the Rama.
Not like the Rama, right? Because it disagrees with the Rama. Mikol makom yeshlomer dafka mitzupim be'ever mamish avul gloizert, which I assume means glass, lo yivarim. Ayin mishpulsav, right? Or chayim simtaf menalv, simtaf menalv. So what's the logic? Because according to everyone, the obligation to tovel glass is only midraban. So safik draban kula. And it requires to be without a bracha, right? That's going to be the logic. Since a glaze is only a suffix in the first place, it could be that the whole glaze is not going to change anything. So suffix rabban al kula. Now, the when it comes to coding, right? That taz, sifkat and gimel, is just a tiny little taz. It's very important. Meaning, it's referring back to what we quoted in Beis Yosef, that anything that's lanoi, that's only for beauty and not for function, you would not say a bracha on. And the glaze is there for the look, and it's not there for the function. In the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, there is a Sefer called Tevilas Kelim, which is the Sefer on Tevilas Kelim, it's aptly named. In Perek Yud Aleph, footnote Mem Aleph, he says that many poskim do not require Tevila at all when it's covered in glass, because, number one, glass only requires Tevila since it's similar to metal. But when a thin layer on a Kli Cheres, it's not at all similar to metal. That chips, there's no fixing it. Second of all, a metal coating is only Chayv Midrabanan, and glass is only Chayv Midrabanan, so it's a trade Drabanan. The idea that a metal coating is chayiv is not really a kli mateches, it's really a kli cheres. The metal coating would only be the midraban in the first place. Third, there's a sheet in the Gemara that even metal lined is potter. So even though we pass in the chumrah, it seems excessive to extend the chumrah to glass lined as well. Now, Prichadash says that even if the kli is covered with metal, it's not obligated in tefillah because it's bottled to the kli that it's covering. Only if the metal is maimid does it require tevila. So porcelain plates and dishes that are covered with enamel would be potter from tevila. So at the most, you do tevila without a bracha according to the
Prichad. What does the Rebbe advise when people ask about stuff with glaze? To not do it at all, or to do it with?
To not do it at all. I think that's the Masorah of Arishiva. Do Rabbanim and Arishiva say otherwise?
No, Shafter said that when we asked him and Rav Moshe and Rav Gifter, but we saw on the OU website they said the common practice is to do it without a bracha.
That means Rabelski was in the office that day. Okay. Usually what it means. Rashad said no, right?
And Rabelski said, yeah. Like it says that he held that he should without a bracha, so it makes
okay.
sense.
Okay. Yeah. Plastic is tricky. Plastic is tricky. According to almost all modern day poskim in America, plastic does not require tefila. Practice in the United States is not to tovel plastic because that's a Ramesha poskim. The Ramesha's pesach really carried the day. In America. In Eretz Yisrael, Chaznish also had like Ramesh, does not require tefillah, but some of the Yerushalayim poskim held it is chayv and tefillah, including Dayan Weiss and the Chas Yitzchak. So even though the Chaznish said not to, a lot of people in Israel do tovel tefillah. Rabbi Reisman said that Rapam used the poskim also, that plastic does require tefillah, that he would tovel it.
What's the tzad that it requires tefillah?
Oh, so let's go. So let's talk about it. So the argument to tovel is that it's similar to metal. Right? The Gemara said that they didn't have plastic in front of the Gemara, so they had glass, and they said, oh, why do you have to double glass? Because glass is similar to metal, so because you could fix it. So plastic is also similar to metal, and you could fix it. And the Rapam brought a raya from the Piskei Tshuva we read before. Right, let's go back to that Piskei Tshuva about porcelain. He's not talking about plastic, right? He's talking about porcelain. But what does he say about porcelain? So he quotes the Shelus Yaivitz, that domu klir zchuchis, but it doesn't require tefillah. Why? Because it's yodua shas yosim and acholim and adama ukli maklus amur beparsha. Because it's really a kli cheres. It's smoother than a kli cheres. But the only thing that's mechayev glass is the fact that you can fix it, whereas the porcelain can't be fixed. It says Rapam, I don't understand. You want to explain the porcelain is part from Tevila? I have a much simpler way of saying it. There were never gozer on porcelain. That's it. It wasn't included in the Gezerah. Why didn't the Piskei Tshuva say it? Chazal were never masakin to be tovel porcelain. So it must be that without a specific takana, if it meets the criteria, it would require Tevila. It's just that porcelain doesn't even meet the criteria because it can't be fixed. But anything that would meet the criteria would be chayiv in Tevila. The counter argument. Yeah, I assume you can make the counter argument.
I'm scared to not make the counter argument. I might have a different point.
Go ahead.
Okay. Is it porcelain glass?
A counter argument.
Is it porcelain glass?
Right, so a counter-argument is that porcelain is made out of earth. So there's a starting point to assume that it's the same as glass. Plastic is not made out of earth to begin with. It's made out of oil. It's made out of petroleum. So it's not even a starting point. So it's difficult to understand why Rambam thought that was a raya. Meaning, porcelain in its makeup, in what it really is glass. So the shaila is, should we treat it like glass? But no, because it's a kind of glass that doesn't have that single quality that we look at, that made glass like metal, so that's why it doesn't require tevila. But if something doesn't get to square one, it was never even, it's not even similar to glass, not even doesn't have the same makeup as glass, so what are you talking about? So of course it's not going to require tevila. Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Zayin Siman Lamed Zayin explains that the Torah only obligated tevila for metal-like materials. Plastic has no resemblance to metal, does not require tevila. In the Sefer Tevilas Kelim, he adds that maybe the idea of being able to fix them is not just that you're able to fix them, but that they're worth fixing. And inherently cheap utensils, like plastic, maybe are not included, because they're not worth fixing. Obviously, he would say even cheap glass requires tevila, even though nowadays we would never fix it, but it's the kind of thing that objectively, I guess, it's hard to say that though, because I don't know, if they had plastic back then, that would probably be such a boon for them, you know, like it doesn't break, if you drop it and just pick it up, and you know, so I don't know, why wouldn't it be worth fixing? Rav Shapiro just pointed out that there are types of plastic that don't close up when you heat them, they just harden. And if that's the case, so it's not really like metal, it doesn't just melt into each other, it depends on the type of plastic. They make plastic out of a lot of different things. One thing that they all have in common is that none of them are biodegradable, they're all terrible for the environment. But when you heat them up, they don't really close up. In the Sefer Tzvilas Kelim Perikid Aleph Ha'arach Kuf Tezvav, he discusses, you know, should you just say, all right, it's a tovel without a bracha? You know, like the OU says, the practices with China, which is not really the practice, but that, you know, just tovel without a bracha. So Rav Avadya says, yeah, tovel of bracha, why not? Yeah, it's a tovel without a bracha. But Chalkas Yaakov says that ain't the tovel, because he's concerned that whenever you're going to go to the mitzvah and tovel, so you might make a mistake and you might say a bracha. So is it worth, for your chumr, is it worth risking a bracha levatala? You know, that person's going to make a mistake and do a bracha levatala? So.
That's sort of true, meaning when at our Kelo mikvah, there's so many things that get to feel without a bracha that it's a chazaka that people go and make
that mistake. People are going to make that mistake? I don't know. I wonder if part of it is just the psychology of like, these are my dishes. This is like the main thing I eat with. Okay, it's a whisk or something, you know, so I'll tell them without a bracha because I don't know what a whisk really does and doesn't handle any edible food or whatever. But like, these are my dishes, you know, so it could be that people have. Now, aluminum is also an interesting thing because aluminum is a new metal. The Torah lists tin, you know, gold, silver, copper, and tin, iron, and lead. And Parshmatos, when the Torah says Tovel Kelim, those are the metals that are listed. They later discovered that aluminum is also a metal. In the Torah, it doesn't list aluminum as a metal, but it is a natural metal. So the question is whether the Torah meant to Tovel all metals, and it just gave the examples, six examples, or it's only those six. Rav Moshe has a famous tshuva in Yerdei Chelek Beis Mikuf Samach Dalid about a kohen flying on an airplane over a cemetery. So the major shaila whether he's got a tumah problem, because it could be that the airplane itself will serve as or I think it's about a kohen, not over a cemetery, but where a body is under the plane. So the floor in between, you know, the cargo hold where they keep the body and where the people are is made out of aluminum. So, or that was the Matzias that was described to Moshe. So it's made out of aluminum. So if it's a metal, it's not going to be mafsik b'tnei atumah because it's mekabel tumah itself. So then all the people sitting on top are also going to become tamei. But if you view the aluminum as a non-metal, so then it's an ohel, as long as there's a tefach of space between the dead body and the top of the cargo area. So there's a tefach of space, so that will stop the tumah, and the tumah would remain only in the cargo area. Rav Shechter wrote a piece in Bichvei Atzon about Kohanim flying on airplanes. Not that they're body on it, but like going over, it's just a similar issue, going over a cemetery. Because a lot of times they put the cemeteries near the airports. when they're planning a city, they try to do that dafka on purpose, that the cemetery should be near the airports, because people don't like to buy houses right near the airports because no one likes all that noise over their heads. But the dead people never complain about the noise over their heads, so they put the cemetery nearby. So the Rav Shechter said that he wrote, if you look in Bikvei Hatzon, he has a whole Shtukel Torah based on Rav Chaim Meiser and many others who held that that the Isra of Tumas Kohanim is not an Isra to become Tame, it's an Isra of Iskarvos Lemeis, that not an Isra of Tumas Meis. So he said that after he wrote that tshuva, someone called him up and yelled at him that now Kohanim are going to fly in airplanes and it's all because of you, and you're being marbetuma for Kohanim or whatever. So he said that he thought Rav Moshe already wrote a tshuva. He just didn't like Rav Moshe's explanation of why it's okay. But so he gave a different explanation why it's okay. He didn't think Kohanim were refraining from flying on airplanes. I think Rav Nissen Kaplan flies in a bag. You ever see that? Like the people that put themselves in the bag? Even this in Kaplan does it. Someone told one of his Talmidim told him. So, not the whole flight, just till they get past the cemeteries. Because in Tel Aviv, they're really, like the classic flight path is right over cemetery, or it used to be at least. So anyway, so Moshe writes that aluminum is not a metal. There are six types of metal in the Torah, and this is not one of them. It's Shesh Ksuvim Aban Kechad, Ein Melamdin, and therefore aluminum is not a metal. But nevertheless, in Yerdeya, Chela Gimel, Simchat Beis, he says that it requires Tevila because it's no different than glass, meaning it could be that it's not a metal, but it's still going to need Tevila Skelim because it's at least like glass. Even if we're misupak what the Torah meant, you know, whether it's all metals or all six, right? Rav Moshe says, okay, if you want to argue either way it's going to require Tevila, and either way it's going to require Tevila with the Bracha. The only shaila is it chayv in tefila midarais or chayv in tefila midarabanan, meaning it's either a metal or it's glass. It's not neither of those things. It's one or the other. Now one could argue that if we potter plastic, then we should potter aluminum also, meaning because yeah, it's not a metal, but it's also not glass. They were never misakeid. That's if you look in Shubas van Hagos or Sternbach in Chelik Aleph Siman Taf Nun Aleph, he makes that argument, and Rav Sternbach quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. He doesn't often quote, you don't see Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky quoted in Tshuva Svarim so much. Rav Shulman quotes Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, She'en chiv min ha-Torah b'mashal l'niskar b'pasuk b'toch sheish minin u'mitzadei de'efshar d'gam mid'rabbanan im chayim b'tvila. It's difficult to understand why Rav Moshe would exempt plastic and yet still assume that aluminum is chayim mid'rabbanan, even if the Torah is not referring to it.
Maybe because of the Rav Shulman that so many plastics don't, you can't really.
Right, did Rav Moshe know that? You know, you don't get the impression from the Shuvah that he was aware of that. It sounds like he just thought plastic was plastic and then it's all the same and then it shares the same status as glass. Rav Sturmach argues that since there were gozer on glass because Klimachos Shavinu, it stands to reason that anything that's very similar to metal would be included. And Rav Sturmach says it may depend whether Tfilas Kelim is Daraisa Drabban, because if it's Daraisa, Chazal only added glass and therefore aluminum is going to be exempt. But if the whole thing is Drabbanan, they probably included all metals, not just with the Torah's definition of metal. Meaning, if the whole thing of Tevilas Kelim is Daraisa, so then what the Torah was Mechayiv, So, and that's it. And that's where it stops. But if the entire concept of Tevilas Kelim is Midrabbanan, which, by the way, I'm reminded, Eitan Dreyfus sent me after Shir yesterday, I quoted a Rashba that learned the Shitas HaRambam. How do we say yesterday? That the Rashba learned the Shitas Rambam that Tevilas Kelim is Daraisa. Apparently, in the new editions of the Tshuvas HaRashba, it makes a correction on the bottom and says he clearly doesn't mean the Rambam, he must mean the Ramban, because the Rambam doesn't hold this way, and elsewhere the Rashba writes in Torah Zavayis that explicitly not that way, right? So apparently that's, but it was a Kesef Mishnah, no? Yeah, it was a Kesef Mishnah understood that way, but apparently there are significant Maramakomos that suggest that the Rashba did not think that the Rambam held it was the Daraisa. But anyway, that's Rav Sturmach's, you know, interesting, I guess, counterintuitive, claim that is aluminum chayiv in tevila only if tevila is on the lower measure, right? If tevila is chayiv daraisa, then aluminum is potter. But if tevila is chayiv mitrabana, then aluminum is going to be included. Wood does not require tevila, but makes sense to quote some machlokas if there's a metal minded, but concludes that it doesn't require tevila. We'll see in Shulchan Aruch Sif Vav. Take a quick look at Sif Vav. right? Kliyet sheyesh lo chashukim shel barzel mibachutz shemamid mosel eroton tvira. He's talking about like barrels, you know, like those big wooden barrels that have those metal rings around the barrels that hold it together. Shach says to do tefillah without a bracha if there's a maimon right over there. The shach says at least do tefillah in the tefillah. Yeah, in your days. Right, that's always the trick, the tavla. Whenever you have a suffix brachos, right, the trick is always figure out a way that you can actually say the bracha. Someone told me, Rami Merzel told me, I was at a chasna with him on Sunday at Leo Rubin's wedding, and Rav Ami was Masari Kiddushin. He had flown in for just a few hours in Masari Kiddushin. So they told me that someone came over to him on Friday night and said that they don't remember if they counted Svira on Thursday night. So that's a pretty typical shaila. You don't know if you did or not, so what do you do? Yeah, so, but I think the practice is most poskim assume they keep counting with the bracha, because really mikra didn't we pass him that you do count with the bracha, that you are chayv and svira even if you miss the day. It's just out of respect for those rishonim that say that you lost it. But as soon as you introduce another suffix, so then you can do it. But the person said, I don't remember if I counted Thursday night, but as soon as Shabbos is over and I turn on my phone, I will know for sure. I mean, then it will be vada, because he knows that he has the app, and either he checked it or he didn't check it, and it will be very clear to him. So do you want to take that risk that he's going to count with a bracha tonight? Meaning, so Motzai Shabbos, he'll know for sure what to do. He'll know for sure whether he should count with a bracha. But tonight, for this one night, should he count with a bracha because that's what the halacha normally would be? Or do you say, well, this can turn out bad, right? Because it can turn out that it's going to be a bracha natal. So what's the real answer? Listen to someone else's bracha, say amen or whatever. Okay, but everyone already counted, and then it was after davening, and it was too late. Everyone else had already counted. So then what do you do? So, what are you asking? Come with the bracha. Why? That's halacha, yeah. Unless you yourself in breaks, what's halacha? You're supposed to come with the bracha. And if it turns out later that was not the case, okay, so that's what you do. So he said that's what Rav Nefesel said. Okay, good. I would imagine that's what Rav Nefesel said, right? It was a cute case. One time use cable and reusable cable. So this is good, you can get a little more involved. The Shulchan Aruch passes metal cable are chayv midaraisin tefillah. So how do we use like aluminum soda cans, you know, or something like that? Also, if you have like a coffee jar or something that you want to refill with other foods, do you need to be tovelit? And does it require, and if it does require tefillah, can you use it the first time around? You know, they have a coffee jar that comes with coffee grinds or something, so just to use it the first time out, or a glass. Now they're moving away from this, right? Apparently glass jars people don't like having around the kitchen, because if you drop it, it's like gefährlich. So they make things even Snapple finally caved and moved to plastic. I still find it tastes better in glass, but even Snapple finally caved. So let's first discuss soda cans and steel cans that are used once, and then we'll move from there. Shlomo Zalman gives two explanations why you're allowed to drink from a soda can. First, he says a soda can and it can't really be considered a kli until it's opened. They only become a kli once you open it. And since you're the one that's opening it and you're a Jew, it's a kli that's made by a Jew, so it doesn't require tefillah. Shlomo Zalman says he doesn't love that, because according to that logic, it would be usher to open those cans on Shabbos, obviously, because you're making a kli. And Rosh Hashanah, in certain cases, you know, you have to go through that sugya also, allows for opening some of these types of cans on Shabbos. Second thing he says is that when a non-Jew puts the food in the kli, the non-Jew is the one that put the food in the kli, because it was packaged in the factory. So who's the one that's really using the kli? Meaning the issue of using the kli, says Rosh Hashanah, maybe it's not to eat out of the kli, it's to put the food in the kli. So I don't have to remove the food right away just because there's something in there. As soon as I purchase the product, and since when you're finished drinking, you'll throw out the can, it never became a kli suda in your possession. meaning you never violated the Isra of being Mishtamish with the Klei Suda without Tvila. So essentially, the Kli is, I mean, there are two ways to say it. You can say the Kli becomes batel to the food, because it's only there as long as you need the food, or that the Kli is you're not really using the Kli. Rav Moshe seems to assume in Yardei based on Mem that the Kli is batel to the food. That's the Svari he seems to work with. The in Sharm Tzion Ba'alach, the Siman Lamed Zayin, he brings a raya from a Gemara in the Erev in Daf Chavad, that even though Maaser Sheni money can only be used to buy food, you could buy wine in the cask with Maaser Sheni money. But you're only allowed to buy food with it. How can you buy wine with the bottle around it? Because that's you could ignore the monetary value of the cask, because that's totally batel to the food itself. Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg in Sri De'esh, why did he name the sefer Sri De'esh? You know a little bit about Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg?
The Holocaust.
The Holocaust, yeah. So Rabbi Chiel Yaakov Weinberg was a survivor, and the Chuvas survived the Holocaust. Some of the Chuvas survived the Holocaust, and he was able to find them. So we call the Tshuva Sri De'esh. You find, I've been doing, as I mentioned to you, I think several times, I've been doing like a series of Rav Moshe Feinstein's halachic adversaries, like all the other Gedolei HaPosukim of his generation. Almost all of them were Holocaust survivors. I mean, Rav Moshe wasn't, but almost all of them were Holocaust survivors. Not like Rav Moshe's life was a picnic in Russia, but almost all of them are Holocaust survivors. And one thing you find about every Holocaust survivor is that it defined the rest of their life. Whatever it defined the rest of their life. I just did on this Kleisenberg Rebbe this past Sunday. Kleisenberg Rebbe is an extreme example because he managed, like, he lost everything. There were 150 family members, between aunts and uncles, children, wife. Yeah, he was the only one to survive. He lost 11 children, managed everything. And he rebuilt more than anybody else. Like, what he built is just unbelievable. But anyway, so Chil Yaakov Weinberg is a Sri De'esh, and the Chalkas Yoav, the Chalk Beis Yemin Zayin, gives a very similar explanation to the second explanation of Shlomo Zalman, that since you dispose of the can right after you consume it, so you don't have in mind to buy the can. You're only buying the contents of the can, and you're just borrowing the can. So a little bit of a different explanation, right? Meaning that it only becomes your chiv and tzvila when you acquire it. I don't want the can. I just want the food in it. It's just that the only way to get the food is if I buy the can, because that's the delivery system through which they deliver the food. So I never have in mind to be kona the can.
But
the can. No, you can't be kona bal karcham. Right? Das, you need das to be kona.
If Reuven buys a can of soda, he finishes it, Shimon is just allowed to take it.
If Reuven had no intention of buying it, yeah. Right? The problem is not in the technicality of it, the problem is the umdana. Right? To make an umdana that a person doesn't have kavana to buy the can. That's the problem, right? But technically, if he actually does, meaning if it would work, right? If you actually don't have kavana to acquire the can, lechora would work.
Would the same svar be true if it was actual metal?
Pashtus, yeah. If you don't acquire it. There's a Chuvus Maral Diskid in Kuntros Achron, Simen Hei, Oskof Lamed Vav, where he has a very, very brief and cryptic response to this issue. And he says when you buy a kli that's already filled with food, you don't have to empty its contents immediately, since you're using it passively. Shevi Al Tasa. It's not an active violation of the mitzvah of Tfilas Kelim. So what exactly does he mean by that? So it's not abundantly clear. There are two possibilities. It could be that he means to say that the only iser is for a Jewish person to put food in the kli, like we said before. Shlomo Zalman mentions this possibility, that there's no iser to have a kli that has food in it already and continue to use it that way as long as I don't put any food in it. Using a kli that already has food is not considered at all problematic. Or the Maral Diskin might simply mean to say that so long as you're not actively using the kli, it doesn't require tefillah. When you unpack your groceries, you don't have to empty out the coffee can, because I'm not using the coffee can right now. I don't have to like give it my immediate attention. So instead, you could put it away in the pantry until the time comes to use it. And at that point, you certainly can't eat straight from the kli. You've got to empty it, but then eat the food. I mean, it's not called that I'm using it just because I'm not giving it my immediate attention. It's already in the kli, I'm putting it there, and I'll deal with it when I deal with it.
The way we understood the Maral Diskin, maybe it's a third way, or maybe it's one of those two. that's when you buy a kli with food in it, you can't right now be tovel it until you pour it out, because then it's a chatzit. You have to tovel just the kli. So it's shei b'al tasa, because we don't necessitate that you dump everything out, go take it to the thing, put it back.
Well, why not?
Because maybe that's the cryptic part, but that's what he's calling it's a shei b'al tasa. I don't have to. I'm not actively using it.
So I think you're saying what I'm trying to draw when I say why not is I think you're saying the same thing as the second lady, right? That I don't have to deal with it right now. It's full of food. Let it be there, and then I'll deal with it when I deal with it. But as soon as I do deal with it, then I got to empty it out. Rav Sturmbach in Chelek Aleph Sintapim Zayin writes that the reason we're always making to use pickle jars, that's still glass. Right? Actually, I see plastic pickle jars now also. But that the reason we're making to use pickle jars and coffee cans is that they're technically not considered klei suda, and they don't require tefillah at all, because they're not used in the preparation or the eating of the food. Only if it's for preparation of the food or eating of the food is it called klei suda. That's a bechiddush also, meaning we have to discuss storage kelim or storage kelim klei suda, because that's what it's being used for. It's being used for storage. In Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, in Perek Tes Ha'ara Mem Dalid, in the newest editions, he says that a person can only rely on that kula, the marl diskin, for coffee cans when you also combine it with the idea that it's only for storage, meaning that you're not going to use it to eat out of. Shmir Shabbos quotes this kula from the Miskeres HaShulchan. Miskeres HaShulchan is a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, right? He was, I forgot his name. But he wrote a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he went to Rosh Shlomo Gansfried for Haskama. Rosh Shlomo Gansfried was absolutely adamant that no one is ever allowed to write a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I mean, he was adamant that nothing ever be printed together with the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He insisted on that. So he said you could print it as a separate sefer, but no way, not like on the bottom of the page of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. And he wrote it in the Haskama. And he included that in the Haskama. It's a wonderful sefer, nothing but cannot be printed together with my sefer. So he printed it first as a separate sefer, and then Rosh Hashanah Gansfi died, and then he printed it on the bottom of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, and he printed it with Rosh Hashanah Gansfi's Haskama, and he took out that line in the Haskama when he printed it. It happens to be Rosh Hashanah Gansfi lost that battle, meaning Shor Mitzion Balacha is a commentary on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. There are hundreds of commentaries on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Rabbi Shlomo Friedman from Keren B'Yavne, thank you, why guys? Yeah. Shlomo Friedman from Keren B'Yavne his father wrote the biography of Rav Shlomo Gansfried. I think he's an Eilikl somehow.
Yeah.
So his father, I think, was a professor in Queens College or something like that. His father's there. What?
Something like that.
Yeah, so his father wrote the biography of Rav Shlomo Gansfried. So he wrote over there, he did all the research of how many commentaries were printed on the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the Mezgeres HaShulchan, the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, he says that any bottle that's neither used during the cooking or eating of a meal is not considered kli suda, doesn't require tefillah, so you have that additional kula. Right. Now, the quote from Michiel Yaakov Weinberg, I don't think I ever saw it inside, in Hama'or, I don't know if it was published in the Tshuvas, in Kislev Tafshin Tezvav, journal Hama'or, and he offers another reason to be mekel in the case of the coffee jar and the pickle jar. He says that you do have to empty the can or the jar after you buy it. When emptying, there's no issur to eat the food as you're emptying it from the can and the jar, and there's also no time frame within which you have to empty the can or the jar. So he says, you know, like if a person empties it, like slowly pours it out, you say, no, stop it, just, you know, turn the whole thing upside down right away. There's no like time frame, there's no speed at which you have to do it. So he says, you know, one way to empty it is to slowly empty it over time, each time you want to take something out of it. So that's all you're doing, is you're emptying it, and once you empty it, you can eat the food. So you could empty it by putting the food from the jar into your mouth.
I think that's in the Sri Deish when he brings the marl disc, and I think that's how he understood it, and maybe that's where it comes from.
That's how he understood the marl disc. Okay. All of this, the reason I once wrote an article about candy dishes. You know, you go to like any of these, like Onuts or, you know, like any of these stores that sell like the candy dishes you bring when you go for Shabbos somewhere. Oh, by the way, May 29th, not that I want candy dishes, it just reminded me of like Shabbos. Is May 29th again? Okay, cool. they sometimes have, they often have just like in plastic or wicker or something like that. It's not a shayla, but they sometimes like sell fancy ones, like in a glass dish or even a metal dish sometimes. And they don't tovel them. Like a lot of the from stores do not tovel these dishes. So shayla is, are they allowed to sell it that way without toveling? So you have to go through the pickle jar, coffee jar shaylas, and kulas, and see if any of these kulas actually works. That's what I did in that article. I went through like the six different kulas that they have for coffee jars and pickle jars, and see if any of them work for candy dishes. Most of them do not. Most of them do not work for candy dishes. I think at the time in Nevada Kashrus, I raised the issue. I made a big stink about it. I was young, I was still making a big stink about things. So Rabbi Eisen said, you know, it seems, he's like, write it up. I already had, so I said, no problem. And 2 seconds later, I sent him a 20-page article. So he's like, wow, that was fast. And he said, so let's call Refival. So he called Refival Cohen, and Refival Cohen said, I'm right, that we should require that, that they either not use them. I think he might have been makel that you could tovel them on behalf of that the store is allowed to tovel them, even though it's only clay schora for the store. I don't remember. I don't remember what the story that was there. I think I discussed that in the article also. But I don't think they do it. I don't think it's difficult.
Why was the bottle to the contents
sparring? Because a lot of these dishes, if you just wanted the content, that's what they have the plastic dishes for. Meaning you're buying dafka in a nicer dish because you want them to have it. Meaning you're really buying a candy dish. It's just saying, it didn't have candy in it when you give them a candy dish because it looks nicer with colors in it. But it's really the dish itself that's probably the ikker. As opposed to if you just want the candy, then you put it in the plastic. All right, maybe we'll post the article in the WhatsApp chat or something. All right, we'll get to Snapple bottles and aluminum cans and stuff like that as Hashem next time. And next time will be Sunday, right? Next time will be Sunday. Yeah.
Jesse and I thought of another possible nafkamina if tefillah is a mitzvah or a matir.
Oh, okay.
The Ran puts a ravid that he says that even though b'diavad, if you do tefillah first, it works and it's not tol v'shar tzbiado, l'chatchila you should do hagala first because the pasuk is mashma that hagala is supposed to be first. And Rav Schefter is a piece in Guinness Egos and he says that even when the chacham darshan had that something could be done in a different form or a different way, there's still a hider to do it based on the pashas hakra. But he says that wouldn't apply by a matir. So it'll only be true for a mitzvah. So
in general, a hiddur doesn't apply by matir. It's either matir or it's not matir. Right, that was like the, yeah. Very good? Okay. Like it. Shkoyach. Yeah, have a good job, everybody. Okay, it's